Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archery's podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, 101 Things I Learned in Business School, Second Edition, is a compact nonfiction guide by Michael W. Praise with Matthew Frederick that translates broad business school subjects into 101 short, illustrated lessons. Rather than functioning as a sequential MBA textbook, it offers an accessible reference across accounting, finance, marketing, management, strategy, operations, organizational behavior, and business ethics. Its purpose is to help readers connect familiar business vocabulary with the decisions those concepts are meant to inform. Price brings experience in marketing, teaching, consulting, and executive work, while the book follows the visual, concise format associated with the 101 Things I Learned series. The second edition was published by Crown in 2021. The book treats business not as a purely numerical exercise, but as the organized creation and exchange of value among customers, employees, owners, and other stakeholders. Brief explanations, diagrams, and practical contrasts make the volume especially useful for readers who need orientation before pursuing deeper study. Its scope is deliberately broad, favoring conceptual clarity and decision relevance over technical specialization. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, business education is organized around connected decisions rather than isolated disciplines. A central strength of the book is its treatment of business as a set of interdependent activities. Accounting records what has happened. Finance assesses resources and risk. Marketing interprets markets and customers. Operations turns inputs into deliverable outputs. And management coordinates people and priorities. In practice, these are not separate worlds. A decision to lower a price, for example, has implications for customer demand, revenue, margins, capacity, cash flow, and brand position. The short lesson format encourages readers to recognize these connections without pretending that one formula can settle every managerial question. This is a useful corrective to the common tendency to view an MBA curriculum as a collection of unrelated courses. The book also makes room for organizational structure, culture, and behavior, emphasizing that a technically sound plan can fail if responsibilities, incentives, and communication do not support it. By presenting principles as compact decision tools, it helps readers ask better questions. What outcome is being optimized? What trade-off is being accepted? And which part of the organization will bear the consequences? The result is a broad map of business practice, rather than a substitute for specialist training in any one field. Secondly, value exchange and customer satisfaction provide the commercial starting point. The book frames commerce around value exchange, a perspective that places customers at the center without reducing business to promotion alone. A firm survives when people judge its offering to be worth more than the money, time, effort, or uncertainty required to obtain it. That judgment depends on the product or service itself, but also on reliability, information, convenience, service, and the alternatives available. This orientation gives marketing a wider role than advertising. Marketing includes understanding needs, selecting a target market, shaping an offering, setting a price, and communicating a credible reason to choose it. Customer satisfaction matters because it affects repeat purchase, reputation, and the durability of demand, not merely because it is an attractive slogan. The book therefore links market-facing choices to the internal work needed to fulfill promises consistently. A compelling campaign cannot compensate indefinitely for poor delivery or an offering that does not fit customer priorities. For students and founders, the practical implication is to begin with evidence about the customer problem and competitive context before becoming attached to a favored solution. The concise treatment also clarifies that customer value must coexist with economic viability. An offer that delights users but cannot cover its costs is not a sustainable business model. Thirdly, financial statements turn operating activity into a disciplined view of performance and cash. Financial literacy is one of the book's most practical themes. It introduces the role of financial statements in translating day-to-day activity into a view of profitability, financial position, and cash movement. These statements matter because a business can appear active, popular, or even profitable while still facing serious liquidity pressure. Sales do not necessarily mean cash has been collected, and growth can require inventory, staffing, equipment, or customer credit before the corresponding cash arrives. The book specifically draws attention to the reason fast-growing companies may be chronically short on cash, an insight that challenges the assumption that more revenue automatically solves financial problems. Readers are encouraged to distinguish income from cash flow and to see balance sheet items as operational realities rather than accounting abstractions. Receivables reflect money customers owe, inventory represents resources tied up before sale, and liabilities indicate obligations that must eventually be met. This approach makes financial reporting relevant to managers outside the finance function. Pricing, purchasing, sales terms, and expansion plans all affect cash needs. The lesson is not that every reader must become an accountant, but that responsible decisions require knowing what the numbers measure, what they omit, and how they relate to the timing of a business's commitments. Fourthly, strategy requires market choices, evidence, and due diligence before commitment. The book presents strategy as more than ambitious growth language. It concerns choices about where a business will compete, how it will create a meaningful advantage, and which opportunities it should decline. Growth can come from existing markets or new ones, but each path carries distinct assumptions about demand, capabilities, competition, and cost. A business that enters a new segment without testing those assumptions may mistake enthusiasm for evidence. This is why the book's attention to data and due diligence is significant. Data can sharpen a decision, but it must be interpreted in context. Measurements are useful only when the decision maker understands what they represent, how they were collected, and what uncertainty remains. Due diligence similarly protects against the pressure to seize a seemingly rare opportunity. An attractive deal, product, or expansion prospect can still be harmful if its risks, economics, or strategic fit have not been examined. The underlying reasoning is straightforward: the cost of a mistaken commitment may exceed the cost of waiting, researching, or pursuing another option. This treatment gives readers a grounded view of strategic thinking. Strategy is not prediction with certainty. It is disciplined judgment under incomplete information, supported by explicit assumptions, comparison of alternatives, and attention to the consequences of being wrong. Lastly, leadership, meeting design, and responsibility shape whether business plans can be executed. The book gives organizational life a role equal to analysis and market logic. Businesses act through people, so leadership and management determine whether information moves, decisions are understood, and responsibilities are carried out. Organizational philosophy, structure, culture, and behavior influence what employees notice and how they respond when priorities conflict. A formal strategy can therefore be undermined by unclear authority, incentives that reward the wrong behavior, or a culture that discourages candid reporting. The book's practical attention to running meetings effectively illustrates this wider point. Meetings are not inherently productive merely because participants gather. They need a purpose, relevant preparation, appropriate participants, and a clear conclusion about action and accountability. Otherwise, they consume time while postponing decisions. The inclusion of social and environmental responsibility also broadens the definition of business performance. Responsible conduct can affect trust, reputation, employee commitment, regulatory exposure, and long-term relationships with communities and customers. The book does not present ethics as separate from commercial reality. Instead, it treats ethical and social consequences as part of the context in which firms operate and are judged. For readers, the key implication is that execution depends on institutional habits as much as on ideas. Sound decisions require structures and norms that allow people to implement them consistently and raise concerns before failures become entrenched. In conclusion, 101 Things I Learned in Business School, second edition, is best suited to prospective business students, early career professionals, entrepreneurs, and managers who want a compact orientation to the language and logic of business. It can also serve experienced readers as a quick refresher before a planning discussion, a financial review, or a market decision. Its practical benefit lies in making core concepts legible across functions. Readers can better connect customer value to pricing, growth to cash requirements, strategy to evidence, and leadership to execution. The book is not designed to replace an accounting course, an economics text, or a detailed strategy manual. Readers seeking advanced valuation methods, extensive cases, or rigorous academic debate will need more specialized sources. That limitation is part of its positioning rather than an accidental weakness. Compared with conventional business primers, the book stands out through its 101 concise, visually supported lessons and its deliberate movement between numerical, market, organizational, and ethical concerns. It does not ask readers to master a single grand framework. Instead, it offers a set of memorable principles that can be revisited when a real business question arises. Price's emphasis on the human side of commerce helps distinguish the volume from introductions focused mainly on formulas or corporate terminology. For readers who value breadth, clarity, and decision-focused explanations, it provides a credible entry point and a useful conceptual map for deeper business study. If you would like to support Michael W. Price, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.